morning. Good day, everybody. My name is Carlos. Welcome to My Life Without Limits. We're another wonderful episode this morning and this afternoon or this evening, depending on where you're listening to. And I would love to introduce our co-host first. Once again, she's here. She's always happy to see us, right? This morning.
Yes.
And before we introduce our wonderful guests, I want to introduce Leah. Welcome, Leah, to the podcast again.
Thank you.
Leah, how are you doing today?
I'm great. Thanks very much. I'm doing awesome.
Are you enjoying the warm weather?
Yes.
The sunny days outside?
Any weather that's no jacket weather, I am very happy.
I still have a jacket on, as you can see, because it's pretty cold in the office this morning.
Yeah.
I don't know why, though, but I'm just cold.
Okay. Maybe we're not out of the woods yet when it comes to winter, technically.
No, not yet, because I mean, we were still in the beginning of April and it's still cold. So
anything can happen in the next hour. Anything.
That's what happens in Alberta. So in Canada and Alberta, that's what happens. So
yes.
Hopefully it gets better, and hopefully we can get better weather.
Yeah.
And things are great. Well, yeah. I hope we both enjoyed this episode. We have a wonderful guest that I came across through an association that invited me to do a panel discussion with a couple of people, and then one of the panelists actually connected me with Azucena, which is our guest today, and she's from San Diego. I want to welcome her, and she can introduce herself, but welcome Azucena to the show today, and welcome.
Thank you so much, Carlos and Leah. I am so happy. I can't stop smiling. I'm wearing a yellow dress.
Yes. So,
like, I need to look as happy as I can because I really am feeling happy. I'm very excited to be on the podcast. So thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy that we came across each other, Carlos, first of all, and that we've been able to connect. And now I got to meet Leah. Thank you. Thanks.
Yes. Yeah, it's a wonderful world out there where we can make these connections.
Yeah.
It is a wonderful world, and it's a wonderful tool to use, this type of tool that we're using, the Zoom tools, because you can that was my cable. we can use a platforms like this to connect with each other, and that's what Leah and I have been doing for quite some time on our podcast. But I wanted to welcome you first, and I wanted to ask you, first of all, if you can introduce yourself to the audience as you did, but if you can let the audience know more or less about your background, who you are, where you come from, where do you live with, because I know that you live with cerebral palsy, but you're a really, really go-getter, as I like to see it. And so I would like to see or to know if you can show that, or you can give that to our audience so then they can get to know you a little bit. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh my God. My birthday's on Friday. I turned 36.
April 20th. Happy birthday coming.
So looking, I don't know when this is going to air, but April 20th is my birthday. So I'm looking back, I'm in this time frame of looking back so far, how far I've come. I'm like, oh my God, I've done so many things, and I feel like I've had so many lives within one life. But to answer your question, who am I? I'm a daughter of Mexican immigrants who came to this country, to the U.S. in 1979, in search of more opportunities and a better future for their kids. And my mother was from Tijuana, which is a border town, and my father was from Mexico City, which is the capital of Mexico. Mm-hmm. And We're a very small family. It's just me and my brother. My brother lives in Finland, so I'm the only one here in San Diego currently with my parents. My biological father passed away when I was two of cancer, so my mother had to raise us by herself as a single mother, so that was very challenging. 1990 actually was the year that changed my life forever. Not only was it the year that my father passed away, but it was also the year that I was diagnosed with cerebral palsy, as Carlos mentioned. I was diagnosed with spastic diplegia, to be specific, and I couldn't walk and I couldn't talk and I couldn't. So I missed all those developmental milestones that children are supposed to, meet at a certain point. And I took speech therapy and I took all sorts of therapies, and I basically grew up at the Rady Children's Hospital here in San Diego. Because I've had 18 orthopedic surgeries as a result of my cerebral palsy. I was born pigeon-toed. So for those who don't know what pigeon-toed means, is when your legs are towards the inside. So they had to, every 2 years, I was having metal plates inserted in my legs to strain them out. And a lot of other things that I'm sure, many more things they did, cut tendons, added tendons, whatever they did, transfer tendons. So I just like to think I'm half bionic woman. And
Love
yeah, so I grew up in the hospital. It was very tough because I just didn't have a lot of friends. And as a child, what you want is to fit in, to have friends.
it.
And so I didn't. I was homeschooled most of the time. I had, and I suffered bullying as well because I was in a wheelchair for a long time, and I was just very different. And then the kids, I wouldn't fit in because I love literature. So I loved reading books, and one of the first books I read was Sophie's World, which is an introduction to philosophy. And kids don't care about philosophy at 10, 11, or most of them at when I was growing up didn't. And so it was really challenging. And then I grew up in a very low income community. My parents were very, very low income. Well, my mom was very low income, so the resources we had were very little. We depended on food stamps. We depended on all sorts of government help to get by. But even with all of the struggles and with all of the challenges at home, I always knew that I wanted to study and to hear people's stories, exactly what you're doing now. You're asking about my story. So that's how I ended up studying communications and political science and Latin American literature. So I studied, I have a bachelor's in communication and political science from the University of California, San Diego, UCSD. Go Triton. We don't have a team of anything, but hey, whatever. Still go Tritons.
That's right.
And so I studied communications and political science, and I have a minor in Latin American literature because I just love to read. And when I would spend all those months in recovery, it was through my books that I was able to travel, right? I would transcend the limits of time and space because most of the time I couldn't move from the hips down. And it was like 6 months of recovery every single time. So I graduated school and then I moved to Spain to be a teaching assistant. And that was another adventure. I've always loved to travel. I've always looked at the map of the world and say, oh my God, it's so big. There's so many places I want to go that I moved to Spain and I was a teaching assistant for a while. Then I came back and started working as a communicator for nonprofits, labor unions, all sorts of things. So for the last 15, 12, 13 years, I've been working in production, film, TV, radio, but also preparing people to speak to legislators. And so any sort of communication you can think of. And so I've been a communications professional for the last 12 years. And so, yeah, I mean, it's been quite the journey.
No kidding.
It's funny because in the process, like my type of cerebral palsy, I lose my balance all the time. Well, we were just off the air, and I was just telling you that I just fell down. I have a huge lump
Yes.
in my knee, so I fall every other day. So if my
Oh.
knees could talk, they would probably say, "You know what, Susana, we give up. We don't see you anymore. You have to find another pair of knees because that's
Yeah.
had it with you." I fall so much, and I lose my balance so much. But that's what I've learned, is that is life. You fall down and you get up, and you keep going. And if you really want something, you go for it, no matter what. And so that's how I decided to create a podcast about cerebral palsy, parálisis cerebral,
Awesome.
which is a podcast completely in Spanish, where I interview doctors and professionals and people living with cerebral palsy completely in Spanish. Because when my parents came to this country and they received my diagnosis, they didn't know what the doctors were telling them in English. They didn't understand English. They didn't speak English. So I said, you know what? There's still a huge gap of information for the Spanish-speaking community, not only in the US, everywhere. So that's why I launched my current podcast,
Nice.
Parálisis Cerebral Respuestas.
Before I go into your current podcast, and I wanted to talk about that because I think it's important to talk about the importance of having a podcast in Spanish because it is a huge gap, as you mentioned, mostly in countries that are a little bit lower maybe financially than Canada and the US are. There's less resources that we have here. You were talking about your life and a little bit about your struggles and a little bit about what you went through with your parents. What was the most challenging part other than, did you talk about bowling and being in a wheelchair for somebody who has cerebral palsy like myself and yourself? For me, it's really hard to talk about being vulnerable and talk about bowling and talk about, I don't know, let's say I haven't experienced this in the workplace, but some people experience discrimination in the workplace or meanness in the workplace or in life. And particularly my question is, what is some of your main challenges that you remember when you were a kid, other than bowling or part of bowling that you might learn from and shape who you are today? So what are some of those challenges?
That's a very good question, and it's a very deep question. I think in general, not only as a kid, but people's perception of who you are. But first of all, I would say I had to learn to accept myself, and the fact that I looked different, that I was different, that I walked different. And that was not easy, because I would get out of my house, I would go to school. And I was constantly reminded that my existence, my physical being, did not fit the norm of what society thinks is normal, how people should look like. And as a kid, that is very hard. When things were not accessible, we've come a long way, but there are still, when I was growing up, there was no, curb cuts or, accessible places. And accessibility, let's also name it, is much more than just ramps and elevators or parking spots. Accessibility encompasses a lot of things. And I needed, as part of my CP, I also have ADHD. And so I needed extra time to process information. And so that was also not given to me at in the public school system that I was in at the time. And so I was faced with all these challenges every single day about who I was and my existence as a human being and my body. And it took me a long time to accept that I just was different. I looked different, and that's okay. That is part of the human experience. we are beautiful because we're all different, you know? And so, but as a kid, you don't understand that. And all you want is to fit in, and all you want is to have friends, and for other kids to accept you for who you are. And so that was a big journey for me, to accept who I was as a kid, as a woman, as a little girl, because going back to the bullying, the boys, you know, I started liking boys, and I wanted the boys to like me, but I walked differently and I would fall, and they didn't like me, and they would point at me, and they would, you know, laugh at me. And so that was hard. I was constantly faced with my reality. And so that journey was very difficult. I would say even more so than the bullying. Right, which is very damaging to our self-esteem. But that, I would say, learning to accept my existence and value as a person, even though I was constantly reminded that this world is not meant for people with disabilities, you know, that was challenging.
Yeah. That acceptance, that self-acceptance, oh my goodness, because I mean, people can bully you and bully you, but the bullying that you can do to yourself is like 10 times, million times, you know, worse. So yes, going through that, it must have been tough, 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 tough. Yeah.
It was definitely a challenge.
But you overcome it, which is great. And look at what you're doing now. I mean, it's I always think that, even today, I think sometimes girls, that's why I admire women in general. And I'm not trying to be, you know, I'm not trying to get gifts or like ice cream or something from girls. But honestly, I admire girls so much because I always feel like women in general go through a lot of different challenges than men do. Sometimes as a man, you end up closing yourself so much that you think that your problems are bigger than anybody else's. It doesn't matter what gender it is, whether it's a woman or whoever it is, right? But when you look at the bigger picture, or when I look at the bigger picture, I'm like, well, women go through some challenges that men don't go through, that they are able to overcome it every single day, right? And I'm just, and that's why I admire them so much. And that doesn't mean, and it's not because they have kids and I'm not allowed to, and I'm not able to have kids physiologically, but I'm talking about, you guys carried baby and I can't carry the baby, right? But it embodies the whole aspect of it. That's why I admire women so much, of how they're able to go through their life. And I don't want you guys to see that I think you guys are weak, because you guys are not. I feel like even you guys are more stronger than men, and sorry, men who are listening out there, but it's true. It's true. I think women are more strong. I see it when we get sick. When we get sick, the first thing we do is we want to crawl in bed, and we want to just, you know, we want our mom, we want our blanket, right? And you guys are like, no, I'm sick, and I'm picking up the garbage, and I'm picking up this, and I'm cleaning, and I'm doing this, and I'm like, Leah has a daughter, and she's like, you know, she's sick, and bring her to school, and, you know, all the different things. So I'm like, why can we don't do that? Why do we have to whine all the time? Sorry, guys, but
no, but you're making a point to where quite often, most times, women will experience those growing up, and then they have to go through it again when they have kids, who were most likely to experience it often too. So yeah, no, it is. And I know the point that you're trying to make, for sure.
It is. So it's, and in fact, for me, it's harder, because I always think that women with a disability have it even tougher, because again, you just mentioned, Azucena, you start liking boys, and the boys start making fun of you, right? Or as a young adult, or as a, you know, 16, 15, 16 years old, when you start liking boys, or maybe earlier, you know, it's hard to see that because I'm like, it is hard. And boys can be mean, but girls
Girls
can
can be
be
so
even
mean.
mean too, right?
Girls are so mean.
And mostly when there's a competition between I like the boy and you like the boy, and I'm gonna,
Yeah,
like,
it's not easy.
it's not that easy at all. So,
No.
yeah, you have any questions for us, Susana, that you want to talk to about?
Yeah. So when you were growing up, did you use a wheelchair? Did you use crutches like Carlos does, or how did you get around?
Yes, I did. I started having surgery at 4 years old. So from 4 till probably 14, nonstop. So I used a variation of mobility devices to help me get by. I used a wheelchair. I used a walker. I never used crutches because I was never strong enough to walk with crutches. Or also, my coordination is
So then,
not, it just doesn't exist.
yeah.
Coordination, we don't get along. So I tried getting around with crutches, but it just didn't work. And so I used my wheelchair to get around, and then I used a walker, and then I used a cane. I think I'm gonna come back to using a cane pretty soon around, because I'm losing my balance much more often now. And so, whatever helps me to get around, that is what I'll use. But yeah, I mo mostly wheelchair and walker.
So in your wheelchair, is it, sorry to clarify this, but is it manual or is it automatic? Well, not automatic, but it's electric wheelchair.
No power one.
No,
Power.
growing up, it was always manual, and so I was actually I had very strong arms for some time as a kid. And actually, I was kind of a threat, to be honest, because when the kids would make fun of me and they would laugh and point at me, I was like, you know what? You continue laughing at me, I'll run you over.
Yeah,
That's
that
right. I would
made
threaten them with my wheelchair. I was like, hey,
good.
gotta be careful with me. And so they stopped doing that, right? But yeah, it was only manual. And actually, just recently, I used a wheelchair again. I gave away the one I had, but I think I'm gonna have to purchase one again, because I went to an event, like this really big podcasting event recently in Los Angeles, and I fell down and I sprained my ankle. And I asked for a wheelchair, which they did have, and I was so happy about that. But the carpet, to try to roll in a carpet, it was so hard. It's like, oh my God, these are the things that people don't think about, you know? And of course, I was the only person in a wheelchair. So
So
it was.
they don't think about it when it comes to rental wheelchairs. They think about it when it comes to like your own personal one, because you know how they have different wheels and different shapes and different things. But I mean, when it comes to rental wheelchairs, they gotta also think about having like different styles of rental wheelchairs, in my opinion. Because again, if you end up spraining your ankle like the way you did, you need a wheelchair. But what about pushing it on the carpet? You can't really do that, you know.
Exactly. So that was so hard to get through the hotel and trying to get to the sessions on time. I made it late because I just couldn't, right? But I had a friend that he said, you know what, you should buy a motorized one. And he rented one for me. And I was like, yes, this is what I need. I don't drive at all. I don't even have a driver license. So having that powered wheelchair, I felt like, oh my God, these are my Hot Wheels. I need this. But it's about the one I liked was about $3,000, so I need to save on that.
Oh, ridiculously expensive.
And that's another thing about disability that people don't think about, is how much more expensive it is for us to exist.
Get around, exist. Yes.
And to, in a ableist world, right? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that's another thing, the expenses that comes with it.
Yeah, that is so true.
It is expensive. Right. It is brutally expensive. And I never thought about it when I was a kid, to be honest, because obviously you have, well, I had the fortunate to have a really great support from my family members. And you don't really think about it until you actually grew up and you got to see all the sacrifices that your parents did to be mm-hmm. able to give you the life that you have, right? Because you realize, okay, it's not like piece of cake. It's not like money fell from the trees. My parents had to work two jobs. Your mom had to work, like use, you know, grocery tickets, as you mentioned, right? Ballots. So every parent has their own sacrifice for their own children. And I'm pretty sure if I ask Leah, for example, as a mother, she would tell me that she would do anything in her power for her daughter to have the most successful life in the planet. Even if she
absolutely
doesn't eat for 3 days, but her daughter needs to eat.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm just saying, like, she will do that because that's the way mothers are. That's the way women are overall, right? So it's true. I do want to talk a little bit about well, Leah really likes this topic all the time. And I know she probably didn't want to bring it up, but I want to bring it up because I was curious about it. Before I met you and even after I met you, we talked a little bit about, well, I talked more about relationships, friendships, and love, right? The two different things, love relationships and friendship relationships. We heard a little bit about your conversation with friendship relationships already, how you had tough times having a friendship relationship. But now that you're older, that you grew up from that childhood stage and you went through your adulthood, your teens and then your adulthood, how are your relationships friendship wise? And also, if you want to share, if you feel comfortable sharing about your love relationship.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it's super important to discuss these things. And as I mentioned to you both when off camera, you know, I'm an open book, so please feel free to ask me whatever you feel curious about. And I think this is a great question. Mm-hmm. I think friendships are very important. They're one of the pillars of my life. I have very good friends that have most of my friends have been my friends for a very long time. So I've developed those friendships for, you know, over 10, 12 years. So I think I have a very close knit set of friends that I can count on no matter what, that I can call at any time and they'll answer, you know. And because I live on my own, I live about 25 minutes away from my parents, but I live on my own. So I for me, it's very important to have that emotional support. And because I have my days where I just feel very, very sad and very depressed, and where the pain just takes over my legs and I have spasms and I cannot move. And I look up at the sky and or the ceiling of my room and just cry in silence because of the frustration. And I don't want to take medicine. I don't want to take pain medicine. And you know, I'm 35 and I think, what is my life going to look like in the future, right? And I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know how it's going to get. I don't know how it's, if it's going to, if cerebral palsy does not get worse over time, because it's not, it remains static. The injury that we have occurs during prior or after birth, but the effects of it, like just the walking, and because my hips are uneven, so you know it just takes much more effort to get around. So my friends are that really important support system for me, And I have wonderful friends. And as a communicator, I have found that it's very easy for me to make those connections with people and just share, because truly what connects us all are our stories. Eventually, if we end up talking for a long period of time, I'm sure we're gonna have the three of us find something in common, because it's the human experience that our stories that end up connecting us. So my friends are very important, and they all live in different places. So that's a bit challenging, because that makes me feel that I'm alone. They're all like in San Francisco, Georgia, different places. So none of them are actually here in San Diego. And then in terms of the relationships and the love, that's a very important topic as well, because it's a taboo, right? Disabilities, we are seen as oftentimes asexual beings, or beings that don't have or are not supposed to have these needs, physical needs. And at least my parents, my mom never spoke to me about sex ever. Never. So that's another challenge, right? And so I ended up having my first boyfriend, I think when I was until about 23. And the reason for that was because, one, in high school and college, the guys that I liked didn't like me. They were not interested in me. They didn't see me, right? I was like sort of invisible. And then if there happened to be one that was interested, I was like, oh my God, okay. Step one is done. Yay. Okay. First base. But then I would have a conversation with them, and their mentality was somewhere completely different. They wanted to talk about the sex part. And so, can you have sex? So how do you have sex? And I was like, that is an important part of the human experience, but I want to talk about more topics more in depth. I want deeper conversations. So I quickly found that it was hard for me to have relationships with people my age. So I've only had three relationships, and they've all been with people who have been much older than myself. Because their maturity level is at the level that I want, right? Whereas when I was in college and high school, all they wanted to talk about was sex. And I was like, great, wonderful. I understand the hormones are there. I have a few. I feel the urge as well, but I don't want to keep talking about this. And I never wanted to have a boyfriend just to have a boyfriend, right? I wanted for someone to be meaningful for me, who wanted my partner. And so it's been very challenging, because I'm currently single. I'm 36, and I'm in a dating app. I'm in two dating apps. And one of the first things that men asked me, so can you have sex? I was like, well, you're barely asking me hello, and you're already
Oh,
have sex. And it's just like, wow. All right. So
Lord.
it's been very
Typical.
challenging. And I've been on dates where the guys are like, so how long does it take to for you to have sex? Like, how much time? And I was like, oh my God. And I think, like, if you were an
Not to say.
able-bodied person, this question under the sink, don't ask it to me. What makes you think that you can just ask these things?
Oh, that's
That throws me off a little. And when I've had these, my three relationships that I've had, they do have questions. And I have to say that the men that I've had relationships with, they've all been my friends first. So there's been a trust built, right? It hasn't been like automatically we become a partnership. But They always ask me, they're afraid, you know, looking back, they've been afraid. So like, am I hurting you? Does this hurt? How do, or they've had to adjust their homes to make it more accessible for me. You know, the shower to kind of completely change their homes. I take off carpets 'cause I trip and fall. So they've had to adapt their homes, but also themselves to like, one of them was very physically active and he would start running and I'm like, Robert, I'm never gonna catch up to you. And so I'm, and he's, oh shit, I'm sorry, you know. So it has been a challenge for them, and they've been very curious about what I can and cannot do. But I'm no longer with these wonderful men, but it hasn't had to do anything with my disability. It just has had to do with the fact that we are going in different
And
paths.
different.
I think I know that if someone cares for me, they're going to, the disability is, you know, yes, it's a part of who I am, but it's not all of who I
It's not
am.
gonna matter
Yeah.
as much
Yeah, not gonna
as
matter.
yeah.
Yeah, and the adjustments they have to make, they may realize, well, you've been making adjustments your whole life and will continue. So these adjustments are very minor, you know,
Sure.
compared to, you know, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And I've also had experience where I dated someone for a while in a dating app, and I thought, okay, this is going great. Yay. And this was recent, well, not recently, but like I was 34, so 2 years ago. And I was very excited about this person, again, older than me. And I was like, okay, this man is mature. And 4 months into it, I stay over at his house and I get
Yeah.
these really bad spasms in the middle of the night, like at 3 in the morning. And I say, can you please, I wake him up, you know, at 3, and I'm like, can you please just warm up your hands, get some cream, and massage my legs because they're really hurting. And he did it. He got up and he did it. But like, after we had breakfast, he brought me home and he sent me a text soon afterwards. And he said, your disability is much more serious than I thought.
Oh my God.
I don't want to deal with it. So, you know, it's over, basically. And I was
Putting
like,
lotion on someone's leg. He should be doing that regardless.
Right? Right?
wow.
That's the same thing I said when or I thought when I heard this story before, because I heard it before. So
Yeah.
I'm like, he should be doing
Good.
that regardless, right? Instead of
I
me.
wish him luck.
Yeah, but that was very, it was very heartbreaking, you know.
Oh,
It
of
was
course.
very disappointing for me.
Yes.
But you know what? I dodged a bullet,
Yes,
and
that's very true. You
like, you
did.
know what? On to the next.
Exactly.
But it is the reality of the dating world. And then the other thing is, am I worthy of being loved? Am I worthy of being seen? Because I have all this pain and I walk differently and I do, you know, I have trouble with my fine motor skills. I have trouble cutting vegetables and things. And so I'm a threat in the kitchen, basically. So one of the requirements is someone who's a good cook.
Absolutely. That's
And
fine.
so, you know, I always question myself, but I go back and I think I have so much to offer.
Yeah,
Yes, that,
absolutely.
but no,
Absolutely.
I'm
You
worth
are intelligent. You have good humor. You're beautiful.
it. Thank you.
Like, you're accomplished. Like, yes, no, you do. You've got a lot to offer, but people just need to get over themselves and, like, oh.
And
Oh.
there's so many ways that you can cut things now. There's so many ways that you can do
True.
things now. There's so many ways that you can that there's gotta be, the way I see it is, yes, there are people that are really, I don't want to call them stupid, 'cause that's a word that I don't like to use, but
I know.
they're just close-minded, right? They're
Ignorant,
just a
yes.
little bit ignorant, they're just close-minded. But there are some other people that are really, you know, out there, that they know what they're seeing,
Sure.
that they have experience, you know,
Yeah.
with this. Maybe they don't have an intimate experience, but they're okay with, like, you
Yeah.
know, experiencing that and getting to know you as What I like about your story and what I like about your life is that you're saying that it's important, or what that's what I got, that it's important to know the person instead of just thinking about the things out there, the sex out there. Or, I'm sorry, I'm not saying that sex is not important. It is,
Oh, it is, of
but
course.
it is not all of it when it
No,
comes
especially
to
at first, like to
exactly.
open the top, like no, because that just makes it seem like they're just, I just want to make sure that you can still do it before I waste my time getting to know
Yeah,
you. It's basically what it says.
exactly. And
Transactionally. Yeah.
that's a little bit sad about it that it's still happening, but at the same time, as you're saying, you're dodging a bullet and you're starting to see which type of person you need in your life instead of just, choosing one just for choosing one and not being alone, right? So
And
it's
there's
just,
so many ways to be intimate with someone that
oh
even
yeah.
if they couldn't, have a typical sex, there's so many other things you
There's
can
so many
do.
other
And
things.
people just,
So many other ways. And I mean, people need, we live in a futurist, like really advanced world that's advancing every single time, and mostly here in
Exactly.
Canada and the United States. So I don't see the problem of adapting, like from people in a sense of that matters. But before we go, Leah,
That
you want
went by
you
so fast. I can't
yeah
even tell how fast that
you
hour went.
know
Almost that almost
yeah.
I can't.
Well,
Oh
there's almost an
my
hour.
God,
We're not done. There's
we're
a question that Leah would love to ask regarding mental health, right, Leah? You have that?
Yeah, we'd like to talk about mental health a little bit, about what our guests do for their mental health, and also about living life without limits, what it means to you, and do you feel that you are living your life without limits?
But before the Life Without Limits one, I want to talk about the podcast. But then, I'm sorry.
Oh yeah, we do want to
Answer the mental health one, and then I'll talk about the podcast quick.
for the mental health. Oh wow, that's such a complex topic, and it's something I deal with every single day of my life. Sometimes I wake up feeling bright yellow, and sometimes, which is my happy color, and then sometimes I feel brown and dark, and which is also a beautiful color, but it's the opposite of yellow. And so, and it like during the pandemic, it was very challenging because I lived on my own and I fell into depression and I couldn't travel. Traveling is my way of healing and dealing with things. And so because I wasn't able to do that, I fell into depression and my thoughts, like I'm always going to be by myself. I'm never going to find someone. I'm never going to be good enough. I'm always going to, and I still do, right? Because I come from a culture where if you're not married by a certain time, you're like, and you're a woman, it's like, oh shit, that's it. You're staying on your own, right? And I battle with that all the time. And I'm turning 36, and thankfully my family has become more accepting of who I am and how I live my life, but it's constantly thrown at me. And mentally, I question my worth all the time. But one of the things I have found to really help me is going out in nature, being around plants and animals, and I love flowers, so being around flowers and just walking. I love to walk, even though I fall, but I love
Me
to walk. I
too.
can walk like 5, 10 miles in a day, and just that heals me, and that clears my mind from negative thoughts. So if I start having a bad, I go on a dark spiral, I'm like, okay, get out of the house, start walking. And so I walk a lot. I write a lot and I read as well. I listen to music. So that's kind of my routine of dealing with my demons. I always think that when my head hurts, it's my demons trying to scratch their way up to the surface. But I'm like, no, get out of the house. And then if it gets to the real extreme of I'm angry at times at myself, I start screaming at trees.
Oh, interesting. I like.
Take my rage out in trees. So there's a couple of dry trees around me,
Yeah.
I've done that a couple times, but I start screaming at trees. But mostly walking and listening to music and writing, those are
No,
my
but
love
maybe
guy.
those trees are your counselors, you know, like the
Yeah,
ones that
they
you
are.
scream at them, and
Yeah.
that's always a great thing. Just for a couple minutes before the last question that Leah asked, and we'll repeat it again. You created an amazing podcast in Spanish that was just released. The first episode, I think, was a couple of weeks ago. And was it 3 weeks ago? That
Congratulations. That's
was the
awesome.
first episode.
Yes.
And it's been, I think it's been 4 episodes now, if I'm correct, four episodes of your podcast in Spanish. So we want to know, I want to know a little bit, but why do you created it? What did it move you to create it?
Thank you so much for asking. I'm so happy about my podcast because I realize that there are no podcasts out there in Spanish that talk about cerebral palsy. And then there's a huge lack of information about what cerebral palsy is still to this day in English, but more so in Spanish, because there's just a lack of information altogether, right? There's a huge gap. And I'm fully bilingual. Actually, Spanish is my first language, and I didn't learn English until like at 9 or 10. And so I realized that the Hispanic Latino community or Spanish speaking community in general don't have resources when it comes to trying to speak to doctors about cerebral palsy or if they have questions. So in my podcast, Parálisis Cerebral Respuestas, I interview doctors, top specialists in the field of cerebral palsy, at least for this first season, where I'm going through the basics of what is CP, what are the different types, what are the different treatments, how do you pick a treatment? So what I do is I ask people to send me their questions about CP, and I ask those questions to the specialists that I'm interviewing in that week. And so people, Spanish speaking people can use me as a resource to try to reach these doctors that they probably wouldn't be able to do so in the first place. So the first one is one of the best doctors, top neurologist in cerebral palsy, Dr. Mauricio Delgado, who speaks about what CP is. And he was president of the American Academy for Cerebral Palsy as a Mexican, and also president of the Mexican Academy. So he's highly accomplished. And for me to get access to all these doctors is amazing, but more so is to be able to spread the knowledge. Because when I tell someone that I have CP, they're like, that's not true. It doesn't seem like you have CP. Isn't that Down syndrome? Or they think that there's some sort of cognitive impairment or, something completely different. So that's what I want to do. I want to raise awareness with this podcast, but more so than raise awareness, I'm taking action, right? And I'm taking action by creating this podcast in Spanish to interview these sources. It's because in the internet you can find a lot of information, but these doctors have dedicated their life to the field of cerebral palsy. So I hope to raise awareness about what CP is, but also spread the knowledge about what it is. And so, yeah, that's
Love
my
that.
podcast, Parálisis Cerebral Respuestas, which is available on Spotify, Apple, and also YouTube.
Great. We'll
Yeah.
make sure to put links to that in the show
Well,
notes so people
definitely
know where to find it.
put links in the show notes for sure, so people, as Leah said, people know where to find it. It's a really great podcast. I listened to three of them. I haven't listened to the last one. I'm gonna take time to listen because I take notes. So, I've been doing that with my podcast now. With this season, mostly taking notes and kind of seeing what, and also with other podcasts to see what we can improve on, what we can think about. Leah does that with criminal podcasts too. She listens to it a lot. I don't know if she makes
True
notes
crime, I do.
and
I don't take
true crime,
notes, but I solve them. I know I do most of the time.
she's
I
very
solved one
smart.
on the way into work today.
Oh, nice.
I know
She's
exactly who did
When we went to a presentation one time, she put me, instead of listening to music, she put me at this podcast listening to, and it was really good. It's really interesting. So it was good. But anyways, Leah has one last question,
Yes.
which we
Cool.
ask all of our guests, and we want to know your
Yes.
answer. There's
We'll go
no
back.
correct, answer, so feel
Nope.
free to answer whatever comes to your heart.
We'll go back to why we're here and mostly to talk about life without limits. So if you could please let us know what living life without, like what that term means to you, and if you feel that you are living a life without limits.
Living a life without limits means pursuing your dreams. Means being able to, or even to dream, and not so much being, it shouldn't be defined by the physical act of pursuing something, because you can live a life without limits in your imagination. You push the limits of your imagination, and that is a life without limits. One of the things that I am very proud of is that I've managed to adapt very well to the challenges that life has thrown at me, and I've been able to navigate through life. And what's been the most challenging part for me is people's perception of how I should look like or how I should act, and then the barriers that are put in our society. That's the most challenging and tiring part, trying to say, hey, we deserve these rights. We deserve to be seen just like anyone else because we're human beings. We have so much to offer. So in a way, I think society puts a lot of limits into us. Am I living my life without limits? Absolutely. I think what defines us in life are not our abilities or disabilities. Are what defines us as people are our dreams, our opinions, our hearts, our minds. That is what defines us as human beings. It's not whether we can do something or not, because we all have talents and we all have gifts. And I feel like my gift is storytelling. It is gathering people's stories and writing about it. And with this podcast, I love interviewing people. And so I've traveled around the world. I've been to 17 countries. It's been very challenging because they're not always accessible. I've managed to smash a lot of expectations that people had and or didn't have about me or how I should live my life. And so, yes, absolutely, I'm living my life without any limits. I've made mistakes along the way, but I don't regret it. I've learned from them. And I'm happy. I mean, I definitely know that the best is yet to come. Lots of challenges, but that's okay. I'm ready to conquer them, whatever it looks like. And I'm happy and I'm fortunate to be able to say that I can live my life. If there's something I want people to know about CP and what it feels like to have CP is it's a damn good life. I am so happy I have CP. Like, yes.
Absolutely.
People should not pity me. People should not feel sorry for me. No, I'm living my life to the fullest. And yes, there are challenges, but you know what? You keep moving forward because that is life.
That's right. That's beautiful.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. That is beautiful, actually. To remind people that it's beautiful to live the way you are. Sometimes, depending on which disability you have, some people don't feel that they are proud of what they have. It took me a long time to feel proud of living with cerebral palsy. It took me a very, very long time, super, super long time. Nowadays, it's different. Working in an organization that I work for, it opened up my mind to enjoy my life, living with cerebral palsy. Right, so I completely understand your message, and I love it because I think people should really live their life enjoying the way they are. Thank you so much, Azucena, for coming across my network, coming across my life, to connect with each other. I know I haven't been able to talk to you personally again since last time because I've been busy. I went back to Mexico, then I came back. I have to catch up with work, and there's a lot of podcasts that me and Lee are recording in the next last couple of weeks, and then in the next couple of weeks we're recording a lot of podcasts.
Not
So
stopping.
a lot's happening. So, but thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to have you on our show, and it's been such an inspiring story to hear your life. And for those people who live in the U.S. in San Diego, listen to Azucena's podcast around the world, and even our podcast. And thank you so much, Azucena, for everything.
Oh,
Thank
thank
you.
you.
Thank you.
Thank you for doing what you do. Thank you for elevating the voices of those of us living with all sorts of disability, in my case, cerebral palsy. But thank you so much for everything that you do. And it was my pleasure to be here. The hour went flying by. So
It always does.
happy to be invited again. Thank you
For
so much.
sure. For
Yeah.
sure. We'll definitely do that. We would love to have a second part from couple of our guests, and we'll definitely love to have you back for sure. Thank you so much for our listeners as well for taking the time to listen today, taking the time for being a part of this community. Thank you all, and yeah, please feel free to check our website, check our Instagram page, connect with me and Leah if you wanted to be a guest. We still love to have new guests, new stories, whether you're in the disability community, a business, or a story, or a person, or an amazing person with an amazing su successes or challenges, or a story you want to talk about and to share with us, feel free to do so. Otherwise, we'll see you next time. Thank you so much. And please don't forget to live your life without limits. Have a wonderful day.
Hey.